The sixth chapter. I'd like to speak to you on the subject of to whom do you belong? To whom do you belong? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Everybody belongs to somebody. Either Satan or Christ. Everybody either belongs to the one or to the other. To whom do you belong? Look at the seventh chapter of the book of John, verse number 44. John chapter 7 and verse number 44. No, chapter 8 and verse 44. You are of your father the devil. The less of your father ye will do. He that was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. To whom do you belong? You either belong to Jesus Christ through repentance and faith, trusting him as your Savior, or you belong to Satan. Romans chapter 4, verse number 11. Romans, the fourth chapter, and verse 11, the Bible says, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. That circumcision was an outward showing of the fact that they were children of God, that they had become servants of God, and that they were of the Hebrew faith. By faith, not by works, not by the keeping of the law, but by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So we either belong to Satan or we belong to God. An exception to that? Truth, reality, one or the other. And you know what it's up to? It's which one we belong to? Us. It's up to me. It's up to you. It's our choice. He left us free to choose. Now, we're going to notice two things here that Paul wanted the Corinthian church to know. You're not your own. Boy, we got a world full of people that think they are. We've got, even sometimes we get to thinking we are. We can handle it. We can take care of it. No, we can't. Without him, he says we can do nothing. With him, all things are possible. Your body. You're not your own. Your body is not your own. So we need to be careful how that we take care of our body. Our mouth, our eyes, our hands, and all should be used for the glory of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Do it to raise and uplift him. Do it to exalt him. Whatever you do, we're having this service. Well, I hope we're doing it for the glory of God, because there's no man deserving of that glory. As a matter of fact, I remember a king was sitting on his place in the amphitheater, and we saw it while we were over in Israel that time. were that he was sitting there, and they gave him the glory instead of God, and he accepted that, and the worms come and ate him up right where he sat. So whether we eat, whether we drink, or whatsoever we do, do to the glory of God. Our time belongs to God, so we need to be careful not to waste it. Look at Psalms 90 and verse 12. 90th Psalm and verse number 12. So, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And by the way, where do you get wisdom? Ask the world. They'll tell you all different kinds of places to get it. Get the best education for the best university, and it'll give you wisdom. Listen, the Bible makes it clear in the book of James, he said, those that lack wisdom, ask God who gives it. We get wisdom from God. Well, how do we get it from God today? He don't send it direct. We get it from his word. That's where we get wisdom. He delivers it to us through his word. You know, the old deacon used to say all the time, the Bible is just plain common old hard horse sense. I heard Brother Fred when we first got the Lord's word, the Bible is just common old hard horse sense. It just makes sense. It tells the truth about everything in life. It tells us where everything came from. It tells us where everything's going. He tells us of the beginning and he tells us of the end, and we find it all in the word of God. And every time they unearth things anymore, they confirm that the Bible, the 66 books, are the word of God. Sodom and Gomorrah weren't mentioned anywhere except in the Bible. The judge for Jesus, Pilate. No mention of him in the world anywhere except the Bible. And what did they do? In Caesarea over there, they unearthed the stone, and their Pilate's name was on it. It was engraved. Other places. Sodom and Gomorrah was not named anywhere. The couple of the northern cities there in southern, or the northern part of Israel, and they unearthed some records that were there and had been there for centuries. And it mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah and doing trade with it. Do we need that to confirm this is the word of God? I hope you don't. I don't need it. We don't need it. Because listen, there's no writing like the writing here. I've read other religious books. I read other so-called Bibles. It's right here. Amen. This makes sense. This is reality. And so reality is we are not our own. Our time is not our own. We need to use our time for the honor and glory of the Lord. Matter of fact, Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, confirms to us that we have no control over the time we'll spend on this earth. And so we need to use that time that we have, and the only time we have is right now. We need to use every minute of it for the honor and glory of the Lord. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Ephesians 5, 17 and 18. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Redeeming the time, verse 16. Because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. Don't be controlled by the things of this world. Don't let alcohol control you. Don't let drugs control you, prescription or otherwise. Don't get hooked on anything. Don't get hooked on what adds to this, even. Don't be given over to it. Don't let it control your life. But let the Holy Spirit control your life. Your talent belongs to God. He gave men talents according to their several ability, and he gave them to them to use for the honor and glory of the Lord. And he gave the parable of the talents in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, verses 14 through 29, and he went through and he gave talents to each individual, and they were to use them to get others for him. Had one that didn't use them, and so what he had, they took away. You see, if we don't use our talents that God has given us, we'll lose those. We won't be able to use them. Our money belongs to God. So we need to be careful how we spend our money. Look at Matthew 23 and verse number 23. Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 23. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithes in of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. All right, so what should we do? We should use our money for the honor and glory of the Lord. Now, the subject come up here the other day. I was talking to someone, I don't remember exactly who it was, but anyway, we're talking, and some people, even in the Lord's work, they don't believe that the Bible teaches tithing. Well, you know what? All I need is one verse of scripture that tells me so. They say that's in the Old Testament. It's under the law. It's done away. But it is in the New Testament. It's in this verse right here. These individuals were tithing. And he said you ought to have tithed and not to leave the other weightier matters, judgment, mercy, and faith. You ought to have done and not to leave the other undone. Now, there's a verse in the New Testament that tells you to tithe. Well, it's up to you to use your money however you want to use it, but if you're going to be blessed of the Lord, you're going to use it for his honor and his glory. And you're going to be careful that you don't put yourself in such a bind financially that you can't put the Lord first in your life, or that you're going to do it to where you can't serve the Lord and have the time in order to do it. Your money and your influence, it belongs to God. We need to be careful and guard it sacredly. Look at Romans 14 and verse number 7. Romans chapter 14 and verse 7. The Bible says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. No man lives or dies to himself. Look at Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Matthew, 5th chapter. Beginning with verse number 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. Now Jesus said he was the light of the world when he was here on earth. But now the church is the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. Jesus was the light. His righteousness shone forth in him. The church is now the light. And his righteousness shows forth in the church. Each member should put their light on the candlestick, which is the church, that their light might shine, that it might show forth the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our lives are not about ourselves. It's not about us. It's about others. It's about the needs of others. Jesus' life was never about himself. It was always about others. And when he was about doing for others, then he was doing the work of the Father. And by the way, the Father, when he submitted to scriptural baptism, then the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." How do you hear him? By the word of God. So, our influence belongs to God. Our love belongs to God. So we need to be careful upon whom we bestow our love. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15. 1 John 2 and verse 15. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now, how do we gauge whether we're loving like we should? If we love worldliness and worldly things and doing worldly things more than we love doing for the Lord and serving the Lord, then we're loving the world and not the Lord. How you fitting with that? I mean, how's it doing? Yeah. There once in a while we get caught up in things, don't we? And we get given over to it. And it's a worldly thing. It's a material thing. And then we need to stop and think. We're loving the world more than we're loving the Lord. That's what this verse says. Can't improve on it. Look at verses 7 through 10. And here in 1 John 2. "Brethren, I wrote new commandment unto you." Or "I wrote no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning." The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." How do we know we're saved? One of the greatest evidences that we're saved is because we love the brethren. Book of 1 John emphasizes that. If you don't love your brother, if you hate your brother, it may be because you're not saved. If you can hate your brother, if you can hate your loved one, you might hate their ways, but there's a difference. Do you hate them? Some people can't hate ways. They got to hate them because of their ways. But that's no excuse for not loving. And that's not an evidence. The great evidence of the book of 1 John is our love for the brethren. Our ability and capacity to love. A lost man doesn't have that ability or capacity to love. Yeah. What love are you talking about? I'm talking about the kind of love Jesus had. He loved while we were his enemy. He loved when we despised him. He loved when we persecuted him. He loved when we crucified him. And he showed it when he said, "Don't hold this sin to their charge." Thomas manifested the same kind of love as he was being stoned to death. What's God's word for? What's preaching for? What's the message for? So stir up our hearts and our minds that we might examine ourselves according to his word, revealing his will in our life, and that we might come up to that standard, that we might repent and we might confess and we might set our life in order to where we can let our light shine before men, that they may see the good work and turn and glorify the Father in heaven. And brother, that's a great need that we have today. And I don't mean putting on a front, being good and doing good and all this kind, and you know, butter won't even melt in your mouth kind of thing. It can't be put on, has to be from the heart. Has to be from the heart. Our life belongs to God. So we need to be careful. Remember that is he that gives and he that takes away. Look at James 4, verses 14 and 15. James chapter 4, 14, whereas you know not when what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all each rejoicing in evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, to him it is sin. We don't know when that day shall come. But there's one thing about it. We're all going to leave this life. And this time that we have now is to prepare and to make ready and realize we are not our own. We either belong to the Lord or we belong to the devil. We're either doing the work of the Lord or we're doing it for the devil. Man's standard, religious standard, exceptions. You see, but there are no exceptions as far as God's word is concerned. We're either on one side or we're on the other. There's no in between. We're bought with a price. We were worthless when he bought us. Look at Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Romans, the fifth chapter, verses 6 through 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Every one of us are pretty good people, even when we're lost, huh? What does this say? For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were sinners. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Didn't leave anybody out. John 3:18. We were condemned. Yes. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And listen, to reject the gift and the drawing of the Holy Spirit is a great, great sin. It's counting the sacrifice that he made, the price that he paid, as not being worth anything. It's saying the world and the worldly things and fulfilling the lusts of the things of the world is better and more important than him dying for our sins, more valuable. We were at one time dead in trespasses and in sin. The price was high. Salvation was obtained by paying that great price. And by the way, our salvation is not cheap. It cost God a tremendous amount. It cost him the love of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It cost the sacrifice of Christ. He shed his blood. And by the way, the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of this physical life is sustained by the blood. When the blood is gone, life is gone. And he shed his blood that we might have life. It cost the blood of that precious Lamb of God, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And by the way, when he shed his blood, the travail of his soul, the Bible says, satisfied God. The travail of his soul. Now think about that. It doesn't say the hurting of the flesh. It says the travail of his soul. It was deeper than just the physical. It was spiritual as well. The sacrifice of Christ appeased the wrath of God, satisfied the demand of the law, and said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Jesus died that our sinful souls could live. Let's stand. If you're here tonight, the Spirit of God's convicted your heart. Come to Jesus, whatever the need is. And there's a need. Him being the light, the closer that we walk and let his light shine on us, the more our light will shine. What should we sing, brother?
141.
As we sing this hymn, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you need to come with all of your heart, being willing to turn from self and sin and turn and trust Jesus. That's what repentance is. If you have sin in your life that's destroying the joy of your salvation, you need to come and confess that sin from the heart. And if you'll come and confess that sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That word all is inclusive of everything, every sin you've ever committed. Where he leads me, I will follow. As we sing that song, we need to be singing it from the heart, willing to make any sacrifice that might come our way, to put him first and foremost in our life, that we might give him honor and glory with it. As we look to the Lord in prayer, this will be the opening prayer for our business meeting.